Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Amen. Isaiah chapter number 6, and I want to give you a little thought here tonight. I've read these verses before and preached out of these verses before. I've never really preached exactly what I'm going to preach tonight. So you pray for us that the Lord would help us. Let's stand in honor and reverence for the reading of God's Word. Isaiah chapter number 6, and I'll read a few verses to you, and then we'll jump into this and see what the Lord has for us tonight. The Bible said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he said, and he laid it upon my mouth, and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see indeed, but perceive not. Father, I love you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for this privilege to call on your name in prayer. And God, thank you, Lord, for this privilege to stand behind the sacred desk and to preach again tonight. I pray that over the next few minutes, God, that you'd use us tonight. And God, Father, that the people wouldn't see me, but God, that they'd see you through me, high and mighty lifted up. I pray, God, that you would bring back thy remembrance, the things that we've studied. God, Father, may we learn from your word tonight, God. Father, thank you, Lord, for what you've done in our country. But God, I pray that you'd send revival to it in days to come. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. The Bible said that Isaiah, once he saw the Lord, in verse number 5, he said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. And I want to talk to you about this thought for just a little while tonight, the need for a personal awakening. The need for a personal awakening. You know, a lot of times we talk about a nationwide revival, and can I say I would love to see that again. I'd love to see a move of God like we saw in 2016 sweep through our area again. But the way all of that takes place is when we as individuals get our hearts truly in tune with the Lord. In chapter number 6 of Isaiah, we see there is the call of Isaiah. In the first 4 verses, you'll find his confrontation. But then in verse number 5, you find his confession. Once he is confronted and he sees the Lord, there is a confession that is made. Verse 6 and 7, there's a consecration. Verse 8, there is a call. In verse 9 through 13, there is a commission that goes out to Isaiah. Most of us today see the need, can I say it this way, for a revival in our country. We may even see the need for a revival in our own personal communities, if we want to look at it that way, or in our country. But can I ask you tonight, is there a need for a spiritual awakening, or is there a need for revival in your life personally tonight? You know, a lot of times whenever we talk about needs, we may do this. We may call a meeting and say, hey, we have a checklist that we want to go through. We want to ask you some questions. At the conclusion of this, we're going to see if the needs are truly there. Well, I have a checklist tonight that I want to ask you by way of introduction to see if there is a need personally in your life and in my life of a spiritual, and I'm not talking about second work of grace, somebody give me an amen right there, but of God stirring our hearts one more time in a need of a revival personally in our life. Here's the checklist tonight. It's got one question on it. Was there ever a time in your life that you was closer to God than you are right now? Was there ever a time, let me expound on that, was there ever a time that you read the Bible more than you do right now? Was there ever a time that you prayed more than you do right now? If the answer to any of that is yes, then hear me well, we need a spiritual awakening in our life. I don't believe in progressional backsliding. We're either serving God or we're not, man. And just because we go to church don't mean that we're serving God. We're either in the center of His will, doing what He would have us to do, or we're not. So as we think about this tonight, do we need a personal revival in our life? I thought about this, and I'll not spend a great deal of time on it, but I thought about this. When you come to chapter number 6, verse number 1, the Bible said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. I saw also the Lord. You know what it took for Isaiah to see the Lord the way that he needed to? Something had to die in his life. Uzziah died, and matter of fact, if we was to study King Uzziah, and I've got a lot of things in my notes about him tonight, I'm not going to go into great depths on it, but if we was to study him and if we was to study kings, it was a very big deal when there was a transition of a king. It, matter of fact, it's a lot bigger deal than it is even with a president in our day. And I want to say this to you tonight. Once this individual died, Isaiah saw the Lord. Now, I want to ask you a question tonight, and I'm not talking about an individual, but what is that thing in our life that we need to allow to die so we can see God the way that we need to? This morning in devotions, we was having devotions, and the gentleman that was doing devotions, he was talking about Fox News, and here's what he said. He said, a couple months ago, I come to the realization that Fox News was a hindrance to me spiritually. He said, I watched it all the time. I got all the notifications on my phone. And he said, honestly, it drove me to a place of anxiety because I was constantly on it. He said, you know what I had to do? He said, I had to let that go. He said, I took the app off my phone. I quit watching it on TV. And he said, honestly, last night I went to bed. And he said, I went to bed. God's on the throne. I was trusting God. There was nothing I could do. I had voted. There was nothing I could do to change it. So I went to bed. And he said, at 1 o'clock this morning, my son called me and said, it looks like we've done it. He said, and then I was awake again. But what he was saying was this. There was something in my life that was keeping me from being as close as I needed to be to God. What is that in our life? Isaiah saw God once Uzziah was dead. So I'm going to ask you this question tonight. When we see him, not Isaiah, not Uzziah, but when we see the Lord the way that we should see the Lord, I think that there's three things tonight that will transpire in our life. And if this happens, then we will have a personal revival in our life. Number one, there is a revealing in our life. Again, note with me verse number one. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. There was a revealing, number one, tonight when he saw the Lord. This could be called a quote-unquote revelation because suddenly he realized just how short he had, or just how, let me say it the right way, the bad view that he had of God, who he really was. He come to the conclusion of who God really was. Isaiah said, I saw the Lord. Get Isaiah's picture in your mind because most of us does not possess a clear vision of who God is. Can I just say it this way? I heard this statement made first of the week, and it just, man, it just ripped my gallbladder out. He said the big man upstairs had everything under control. He's not the big man upstairs. You hear me tonight? He is God. He is the creator of all the earth. He's the one that spoke the world into existence. He's the one that breathed breath into the nostrils of Adam's life. He's the one that created Eve from Adam's side. He is God tonight. He is the creator of all the world tonight. He's God. He said, when I saw the Lord, when I saw Him, that's where it all started at. When we get a glimpse of Him, you know what our problem is today? We're looking at everything else. We're looking at everything else. I was asked yesterday by an individual, said, what are you going to do if Donald Trump don't win the president? I said, you may tell you exactly what I'm going to do Wednesday morning, whether he does or whether he doesn't. They said, what's that? I said, I'm going to get up. I'm going to thank the Lord for the night's rest that I had. I'm going to thank Him for the house that I live in. I'm going to thank Him for the county that I live in. I'm going to thank Him for the country that I live in. Then I'm going to get my Bible and I'm going to read it. And I'm going to prepare myself to go preach God's word because God is still God. We get our eyes on everything else. There was a revealing to Isaiah. Whenever that died in his life, he saw the Lord, man. He saw the Lord. Lord, I thought about this as you look in the picture that he gives us in Isaiah chapter number 6. It goes hand in hand with Revelation chapter number 4 of who God is. It appears that the first thing Isaiah saw was how high and lifted up God is tonight. May we be reminded of who he is tonight. He is God. Can I just say that again? He's God. Amen. Hey, when I prayed today, I didn't go to some little booth and walk in it and pull some little curtain back and throw some money in a little jug and talk to a man on the other side of it that's probably more messed up than I am. Let me back up and rephrase that. That is more messed up than I am. No, matter of fact, when I got up this morning, I didn't even talk to my wife. I didn't talk to my mom or my dad. Hear me well. I had direct access unto the throne room of grace. We need to realize we've got access to God tonight. Oh, yes. The one that's never made a mistake. The one that's high and holy. The one that's altogether lovely. The one that is the lily of the valley and the bright and morning star. The one that's everything that we need. If you need a father, he'll be a father. If you need a mother, he'll be a mother. If you need a brother or a sister, that's what he'll be tonight. It's God tonight. It's God. And he come to the realization of who he was talking to and who he was seeing right here, man. It was God. I'll say this tonight. There was a revealing. That revealing, number two, as I move quickly, brought a reality. Brought a reality. You see, I'll never forget. I was just a kid. I was probably 13 or 14 years old. It was 1989 is when it was, so I guess do the math and figure it out. But I was 11. I was born 1978. 1989, I'd have been 11 years old. I did learn something at BCA. Today it's A plus Z equals they and them. Anyway, watch this. As 11 years old, we was in Berlin. They was tearing the Berlin Wall down. And now you can read that in the history books, and you can see that in history books, and if you'll look into it, you'll find that there was like a triangle. It was a one fence post and two other fence posts, and there was wire, barbed wire put around it and wreaths on it, and that's where people was killed trying to get over the Berlin Wall, trying to come from communism to a free country. And to look at that is one thing, but man, when you stood that day and saw it in person, even at an 11-year-old boy, it was different. You can watch a video of a tomb or the tomb of the unknown soldiers. If you've never been there, you need to go there. If you've never been to D.C. And saw some of the historical things in our country, you should go at least one time. But when you are there at the tomb of the unknown soldier and the changing of the guard, I'm going to tell you something, man. The reality of it in person is completely different. And can I say this? When he saw the Lord, reality set in his life. When he saw him, note what he said in verse number 5. Then said I, woe is me. When he saw God, he didn't talk about nobody else. Matter of fact, if you go back to chapter number 5, Isaiah says this in verse number 8. Woe unto them. He says this in verse number 11. Woe unto them. He says this in verse number 18. Woe unto them. He says this in verse number 20. Woe unto them. He says this in verse number 21. Woe unto them. He says this in verse number 22. Woe unto them. But in chapter number 6, verse number 1, he said, I saw the Lord. And he said this in verse number 5 of chapter number 6. Woe is me. You see, when you get your eyes on him, the criticizing of everybody else will soon fade away. Because you'll realize when you put yourself up next to him, we're wicked, we're vile, we're low down. Every one of us on our best day is still going to miss the mark. And our realization of him will bring a reality to us that woe is me. Woe is me. Isaiah was God's prophet writing down words inspired by the Holy Spirit. He was not lost his passion for God's will, or he hasn't lost his passion for God's will. He is recording it as he's writing. He's not been chasing other gods, but listening to the heart of Jehovah. Yet when he sees himself in the light of Jehovah, what does he say? He says, woe is me. When looking at the throne of God, Isaiah becomes aware of who God is and who he is personally. In front of God, he is nothing. And the only thing he can say is, woe is me. Some people today will say, if that is the way it is, then I don't care to see a picture of a holy God. Here's the option. You can see him now or you can see him later. He'll be your redeemer, savior, friend, and guide today, or he'll be your judge later. He can transform us from what we are to what he desires for us to be. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. The only way that ever happens is if we come to a realization of who he is and a reality of who we are. On Friday night, Brother David and Miss Amanda came up on Friday. And Friday afternoon, I fired the grill up and throwed some fillets on it and some ribeyes on it and some New York strips on it and some chicken on it, and all God's people said amen. And Miss Leslie had made some big old baked taters and some salad, and then she made, praise God, one of them homemade nanner puddings. Somebody say amen for that. And we eat, and after we eat, we're sitting around talking. And I told Brother David, I said, you know, I said, I used to be quick to criticize Brother Matt. Oh, well, they didn't sing that like we sing it. Well, they don't dress like I dress. Well, they don't do things like I do things. You know what? The more I see God, the more I desire a relationship with Him, which is getting quiet tonight, the more I long for Him. I told Brother David this. I said, you know what? We might get to heaven and realize we just didn't have everything just right either. We might get to heaven and God look at us and go, you really didn't have to wear that tie all the time in the pulpit. If He does, I might be a little bit upset. But are you hearing me tonight? We get our focus on everything else. They don't dress just like I do. They don't act just like I do. They don't sing just like I do. So therefore, they're not what I am. Well, you know what? They're probably not what I am, and I'm probably not what they are. But the truth of the matter is this. I'm not worried about that, because I'm not going to stand before God for them. I'm not going to stand before God for what they do in their pulpit and what they sing at their church. You know what I'm going to stand before God for? I'm going to stand before God for this old boy right here. And the more I see him and I realize who he is, the reality is this. I'm wicked and vile and miss the mark every day. And I need God more and more in my life. Best thing we can do is get our eyes off everybody else. If we're constantly criticizing everybody else, who are we looking at? Who are we looking at? It seems that we are spending more time looking at everybody else than him. Everybody's going, man, where's Brother David at? He's back in Asheville. All right, he ain't going to be back for 3 years. Y'all like him too good. Man, the realization is this. The reality is this. When he reveals himself for who he is, the reality is this. I'm nothing. I'm nothing, man. I'm nothing. I'm a failure. I missed the mark. Number one, there is a revealing. Number two, there is a reality. Number three, and we'll go home. When we see the revealing of who he is, and we accept the reality of who we are, that's the problem a lot of time. We want to accept that. Who we really are. Who we really are. Number three, if we do that, there has to be a repentance that follows it. There has to be a repentance that follows it. Matter of fact, Jesus, when he was on earth, some of his first words was this, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Some of his last words are found in Revelation 2 and 3 and to five of the seven churches, Jesus said, pretty much repent or else. You see, it's not what we want, it's what he wants. It's what he wants. It's what he desires. And when he exposes the wrong in our life, then I have nothing to do but repent of that if I want to be in fellowship with him. I was talking to Jeremiah this afternoon. I'm right now done. I'm not, but I'm going to be. I was talking to Jeremiah this afternoon, and we was talking about different things, he asked me, he said, what are you going to preach on tonight? I said, I'm preaching on Isaiah 6. He said, man, that's a great text. What you going to say about it? And I was kindly telling him a thought, and I said, you know, Jeremiah, I said, there's something that I saw today in Isaiah 6 that I've never saw before. It's always been there. Are you with me? It, Brother Aaron, every time I've ever read it, it's been there. But the Lord just kindly, I guess I got to realizing who he was. And the reality set in of who I was, and I really needed something from him. And he showed me something. Are you ready? This is deep. right? You're going to have to go home and get a Hebrew lexicon to get it. Look what the Bible said in verse number 5. Then said I, woe is me. Quit woeing everybody else. He said, woe is me. When he come to the realization something was wrong with him, and the reality that he really wasn't perfect, and really saw who Jesus was and who God is, watch this. For I am undone because I am a man of unclean lips. He repented of his fault. He says it to us right there. He said, my problem is my lips. I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm going to ask you this question tonight. What are you undone in? What is your fault tonight? Preacher, I don't have none. Well, that's your first one. I was doing a Bible study today. And in that Bible study, matter of fact, today the group that I meet with to do just a private little Bible study, including me, there was six of us today. Today, our study, I wrote it last week, and then I send it to them on Mondays, and they read it. And then on Wednesdays, we meet it sometime on Wednesdays, if everything works out right, and we talk about it. And, man, I'm telling you, I've loved it. I told Leslie, I said, one reason I love this so much is because these people are so hungry. That, Matt, they want to know. And you know the way it is to teach sometimes, and people just, they don't care. You know, they're there because if I don't come to Sunday school, preacher's going to get mad and preach about it. But, man, they're so eager. They're wanting to know. And we was in that Bible study today, and we began to talk about forgiveness. And one of the reasons that we struggle with forgiveness, one of the reasons that was one of the points to ponder on, is why do you think sometimes you struggle to forgive somebody? And different things were said. One of them was this, because I like to hold the resentment. I like to hold that against that person. Now, some of y'all can shake your head up and down because I've been around you a little bit. Are you with me? They like to hold that. Isaiah said, here's my problem. I've got unclean lips. Now, I want you to see something. Miss Daniel, you come start playing softly. He admits what his problem is. And look at verse number 7. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. When he saw God, he realized who he was, and he repented of what he was undone in. He repented of the problem he had, the sin that he had, and watch what God does. He forgives him for it. He forgives him for it. What did he say? He laid it upon my mouth. He touched exactly what he repented for. So here's what I'm saying to you tonight. If you're interested in God helping you with that problem you got in your life, you got to come to the reality that you got that problem. And you got to realize who he is and repent of it. And you know what he'll do? He'll help you with it. Now watch verse number 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord say. He was called to repentance first. After he repented and got right with God, then God put him in service. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for me? He didn't hear that to begin with. Some of y'all looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. He didn't hear that to begin with. Let me tell you the reason why. He had sin in his life. He saw the Lord. He realized he needed something. I told you he's going to have to get a Hebrew lexicon to understand this. He asked God to help him with it, and God forgave him for it, and then said, guess what, old son? The thing that you had a problem with, that's what I'm going to use. That's what I'm going to use to help you prophesy to the kingdom. The very thing he's got a problem with is what God ends up using in his life. You see, if you'll just give it to the Lord, he may take your fault and use it for his glory after you've been forgiven for. He said, here am I, send me. What did he say? He said, go. Get with it. Do it. So I want to ask you this question tonight. Do you need revival? Is there something in your life? God showed it to him. You know what? I found out this were there, and if I don't want God to show me something, then I just don't need to ask him about it. Because when we go to asking God, Miss Christie, God, you show me that fault in my life. We've got one of two things we can do. We can keep saying, woe is them. Or we can start saying, no, woe is me.